Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this beautiful Tuesday morning, probably mid-80s today here in Nashville. Our show is presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD, products curated for life. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rich Cimini covers the Jets for ESPN, and he is on the line with us. The Titans head up to New York to take on the winless Jets. Rich, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I want to start with something I said in the last segment that I was going to go there with you. What is the mood up there, especially with the success of Sam Darnold in Carolina, at least the start early on for the Panthers? Is that what people are talking about, or are people talking about how Zach Wilson has looked like? What is the storyline to this point up in your market?
Well, I mean, it's hard to get a true pulse of the, you know, people, but, you know, just from reading some social media reaction, yeah, the Darnold situation in Carolina is very much in the narrative here. I mean, I think Sam and Zach Wilson are going to be linked for the rest of their careers from a perspective of your average Jets fan. I mean, that was a monumental franchise decision for the Jets to move on from Sam Darnold and then draft Zach Wilson. So Sam's 3-0. I think fans, the frustration is definitely building. I think the patience is wearing thin after three games. Zach Wilson has not played well. Sam has looked pretty good in Carolina. So absolutely, that is part of what fans are talking about now.
It's unfair, and, you know, we don't judge rookie quarterbacks by three games, but it was a tough weekend for the rookie quarterbacks in the first round this past weekend. Like, overall right now, what you've seen through the development camps, training camp, preseason, and now through three games, what is something or two that you like about what you've seen out of Zach Wilson, and what's something that maybe concerns you early on?
Well, I think he's obviously got the physical talent. I mean, his arm is really good. He can make throws, you know, that a lot of quarterbacks can't. He's just got a strong arm and a very quick release, and he's able to make throws at odd angles, you know, off-balance type plays. He's more athletic than people think. He can move around pretty well in the pocket, escape some pressure. I think those are the positives. The negatives are that, you know, he doesn't know where to throw the ball, and he doesn't know when to throw the ball. You know, he's holding the ball too long right now. He's not in rhythm with the offense. I don't know if he's not trusting his reads or he's not trusting the receiver's routes, but it's not in rhythm. He's like a beat too late, and it's resulting in some turnovers. And, you know, this is going to happen. I mean, he played at BYU. They played a ridiculously soft schedule last year, and so they put him in as a day one starter. There was no competition. There was no semblance of competition. They handed him the job, and he's going to go through growing pains. It's just a fact. And the team around him, I thought they'd be a little better around them, but they have not. They have disappointed as well.
Yeah, and I guess one of those disappointments has to be the running game, or lack of, right, Rich? I mean, they have been able to get nothing going on the ground so far.
Yeah, in two of the three games, they've had nothing. They ran the ball pretty well against New England, actually, in week two. They had 150 yards. But on Sunday in Denver, it was zilch. You know, there was no running game. I think they got away from it too early. They only had, I think they ran 53 plays total, and I think only 12 runs.
Mm.
So, I mean, I know the score was one-sided. You know, in the second half they had to do some throwing, but that is a ridiculously lopsided run-pass ratio when you have a rookie quarterback. You have to do everything you can to get a running game going, and I thought they bailed on it too soon, which did no favors for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and a guy that we got to know very well here in Nashville, of course, he was a first-round pick by the Titans, a fifth pick overall, wide receiver Corey Davis. It looks like early on there's chemistry between Wilson and Davis, because it looks like that's kind of his go-to guy. Is that fair to say?
Pretty much his only go-to guy right now, I think. I mean, they definitely had, in the first week, you know, you saw two touchdowns for them in Carolina in the second half as the Jets were trying to come back in that game. But Corey's last two games have not been good. He was completely shut down by New England in week two. He was barely targeted. He had very, very poor production in that game. And in this past week, he had two drop passes. And so, you know, so he's been somewhat of a disappointment the last couple of games. But you're right, he's the go-to guy. The problem is they don't really have a good number two option. And so it's making things a little tougher on Corey Davis.
Talking to Rich Cimini, covering the New York Jets, and that is the opponent for the Titans coming up in Week 4. And Rich, it certainly, as we were saying, it would help the rookie quarterback if you could get a pretty good running game. They've also got a rookie running back in Michael Carter. What about his progress? And if they could set things up around him well, could he be a good tailback going forward long term?
Yeah, he actually started in Denver, and he pretty much split the workload with Ty Johnson. I think that's probably the way they'll go the rest of the year. I think it'll be a pretty even split between those two. So I think, you know, Carter is he's small. Clearly, you know, he's only 5'8". He's about 205. He runs hard. He does break tackles. He's not just a little scat back. He does have he's a physical runner. He's got good vision. He's got good change of direction. I think he's a pretty good player. I just don't think they're ever going to go to a quote-unquote feature back. I think they're going to stick with their committee system and run guys in and out based on who has the hot hand. It's really incumbent upon the offensive line to play better. Their run blocking against Denver was god-awful. You know, I mean, they were just, the guys were getting hit in the backfield. They had six runs for negative yardage, so it was just terrible. And so they're going to have to block better for Carter to have a chance.
When you're going through the process the Jets are going through right now, and you've got a new coach and a new staff, I know you're trying to lay that foundation. What signs are you seeing? We know what they want to do with the rookie quarterback, with a lot of young players, with bringing in a guy like Corey Davis. But what kind of foundation are you seeing under this new coaching staff?
So many new players, as you mentioned. I think, you know, they have, depending on the week, they have anywhere from 6 to 8 rookies, you know, playing prominent roles in offense, defense, special teams. So they were leading the league in rookie snaps going into Week 3. I'm sure they're still leading the league. And so you're going to go through those ups and downs. Young cornerbacks, their corners are very, very young, you know, rookies and second-year players, and they're going to make mistakes as well. The linebackers, except for C.J. Mosley, are young. So you're going to see mistakes. And then on offense, we just touched on some of their players who were rookies. Elijah Moore, who won't play this week because of a concussion, he is playing a lot as a rookie, you know, starting as a rookie. Their left guard, Elijah Vera Tucker at a USC, has been a day one starter. So he's had some ups and downs. So this is all about rebuilding for the Jets this year. I don't think anybody – I personally picked them to go 5-12 this year. I'll stick with that, although – after days like Sunday, it's you're kind of looking down the schedule thinking, how are they going to get to 5? But, you know, I think Jet fans, for the most part, understand what they're going through. But I think when they see games like Sunday in Denver, they're like, where's the progress? You know, that was a regression. That was a step back. And so there's going to be stops and starts like that all year because of this is who they are.
You led me right into the next question because, Rich, you know as well as anybody, in New York, it's really hard sometimes to sell a big rebuild where you trade a Jamal Adams or your starting quarterback to get draft picks that may not help you immediately, and you might have to take that step back even though the team has been struggling. If you look around all the franchises in New York, I'm a big Mets fan. You know, sometimes fans get really impatient, right, in a big market like that. So how can they make that work?
It's a great point, and I am a Mets fan too, so I feel that we've, you know, sympathized.
Sorry about the last 6 weeks or so. It hadn't been easy, huh?
No, not at all. and of course, the Mets came into the season with expectations. This is not a rebuilding team. And you're right. I think in New York, there is, you know, there's really not a tolerance for rebuilding. And I think in the past, the Jets have fallen into that trap. I mean, in 2016, you know, they had a bad year in 16, and then in 2017, they basically stripped the roster down, and we were all writing how they were tanking for the number one pick, and, you know, it was a rebuild, but then they got away from it. You know, like the rebuild, all of a sudden, they started signing veterans like Tremaine Johnson, who was terrible, and then Le'Veon Bell, who was terrible, and then they drafted the quarterback. You know, they thought, you know, they had Sam Darnold, so that was part of the puzzle. But so they tried to do, they, you know, wanted their cake and eat it too, you know, and so that was the previous regime. So this regime comes in with Saleh and Douglas, and they're basically stripping it down again. But I think there's going to be more of a commitment to it this time. I don't think they're going to deviate from their plan like previous administrations did. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of pain along the way. The Jets have not been shy about admitting that. You know, they've talked pretty transparently about what they're trying to do. And so it's just a matter of getting the right pieces in place.
Rich Cimini is with us, covers the Jets for ESPN. These guys know I had a huge man crush on Elijah Moore coming out of Ole Miss. I wanted the Titans to take him so bad and was very disappointed when they didn't. But I still think he's going to be something in this league. Do you view his first three games as a disappointment, or is just a rookie that is on a bad team and he's just working his way into the NFL?
Yeah, he's been a disappointment so far. I mean, in Carolina, he dropped a long pass that it probably would have changed the complexion of the game early on. And so we have not seen the real Elijah Moore yet. I watched him every day in OTAs and training camp. He is a really good player. I think he has a chance to be special in this league. I thought that was a good pick. The Jets were like doing cartwheels in the draft room when he fell to 34. I mean, they absolutely thought Tennessee or a team in the bottom third of the first round would take him. And so they were thrilled to have him. I think I don't know if they're using him correctly. He's been predominantly an outside receiver. I think at Ole Miss, he got a lot of his production from the slot, and so but they're jammed up with slot receivers, so they've been using him outside. I don't know if that's his future in the league, but so yeah, it's been a slow start for him. Like I said, he won't play this week. He's got a concussion, but I still think he's got a very, very bright future.
When talking about coaches and Robert Saleh, as you were mentioning, Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, I know, again, still early, still a lot of things to develop, but Are you seeing some signs that, you know, he's going to be the right fit to try and build this offense around Wilson?
You know, he is very much like Wilson in that he's a rookie. You know, Mike, of course, comes from a really good football family. His brother, you know, the coach of the Packers. Mike's been around the game. His dad was a college coach. I mean, so he grew up in the game. He's worked with really good people like Kyle Shanahan. So he's, you know, of course, his brother. So he's been around good offense. The Jets are not a good offense right now. They have 20 points in three games. That is tied for a franchise low through three games. You have to go back to 1976 when Joe Namath was on his last legs and Lou Holtz,
people,
Jets coach.
Oh,
they scored 20 points through the first three games, and they've had some very, very bad offenses since then, but right now they're at a historic low. So I like Mike. I think he's got a future, but he's struggling right now, just like Zach Wilson. I thought the game on Denver was a head-scratcher. Like I mentioned earlier, they got away from the run too soon. I don't think they put Zach Wilson in positions to succeed. So he's got to get better as well, meaning Mike LaFleur.
Well, Rich, we're going to be talking about this for the next several days and see how it all shakes out on Sunday, but appreciate the time today.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Rich Cimini covers the Jets for ESPN. The Titans' next opponent coming up on Sundays. We'll be hitting that all week.
Remember, 1976, Lou Holtz did not make it through the entire season. Bailed and then went to Arkansas and rekindled himself as a great college coach.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen.
20 points in the first three games.
That's what NFL coaches do. They bail and go to Arkansas.
Well, I guess, yeah, that theme has been repeated, hasn't it? Yeah, history has repeated.
Certainly happened. You know, now will another prominent college coach that's currently in the NFL bail after 1 year?
You have asked that question, I believe.
I can tell you this. The first week he had, like, touch of gray in his hair, and now after losing three straight, I mean, it's all gray. Like,
it's all gray, so he needs the Keith Hernandez,
yes.
Clyde Frazier, Just for Men
yes.
commercial?
Yes.
No play for Mr. Gray?
Just keep in mind, he is dedicated to turning that organization around.
He said there was zero chance. You should take
Urban Meyer at his word.
I believe every word that comes out of that man's mouth.
You should.
He is honest and just an upstanding individual.
No doubt.
So, yeah. That's how I feel about that.
If you're just new to the show, that was just a hot pile of garbage you disturbed.
#sarcasm.
Anybody who has listened to the show, they know we were kidding. All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss that a little bit more on this. Interesting things there about the Jets, the next opponent, for the Titans. Got to be careful with this where, you know, so many times when everybody's feeling good, it's like, oh, okay, well, you can just send up the practice squad and beat the Jets. That's not how it works in the NFL. We'll discuss on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.